lectionary reading today comes from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 16. We continue with the stories of Elijah the prophet. Listen for the word of the Lord. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, if be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm no longer better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. And all at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." And he looked around, and there by his head there was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. And he ate and drank, and then he lay down again. Pardon me. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. And strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. The word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left. Now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came the sound of absolute silence. When Elijah heard it, he put his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then the voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant and torn down your altars and put your prophets to death with a sword. I'm the only one left. Now they're trying to kill me too." And the Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came. Go to the desert of Damascus. And when you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram, and also anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elijah, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, you feel for Elijah, don't you? He's a terrified prophet. He's been through so much. He's been so faithful. You know, for Elijah, I just want to give him, you know, something peaceful. Like that vision out of William Butler Yeats' poem, "The Lake Isle of Innisfree." "I shall arise and go now, and go to Innisfree, and a small cabin build there of clay and wattles made. 9 bean rows I shall have there, and a hive for the honey bee, and live alone in the bee loud glade. And I shall have some peace there, for peace comes dropping slow, dropping from the veils of morning till when the cricket sings." That's what I want to give to Elijah. Of course, that's not what the Bible gives at all. There is no peace for Elijah. There's something quite different. To understand what's going on in this story and exactly why it makes sense, you have to work through the whole of the story. That Elijah is going up against the king and the queen. He's going up against King Ahab. King Ahab, who worships the Baals along with Queen Jezebel. Ahab was, as kings go, as builder kings go, he was a great builder. He had all sorts of building projects that had been very successful, but he worshipped the Baals, which meant that everything he built was riddled with corruption. He had plenty of advisors, the bobble-headed advisors that you get when you tap their heads and they just sit there and nod in agreement. The bobble-headed advisors agreeing with everything Ahab says, and it's becoming a country of bobble-headed people. That's what you get when you get advisors like that. Elijah, the prophet, is outraged. He calls for a contest between the bobble-headed reign of Ahab and Jezebel and the reign of the Lord God. They have a contest. Two different sacrifices are set up. Whichever sacrifice is accepted by their respective gods that they worship will be the ones that win. The god of Ahab, the god of Jezebel, they build a bonfire. And Elijah says, "You go ahead, you go first." The Baals have their big wood bonfire, while Elijah, by the way, pours water on his. He's spotting them a handicap in this game. He's giving them the big advantage. Elijah says, "You go first," and they begin. They call for their gods to rain down fire from heaven and accept their sacrifice. They yell, they holler, they cut themselves, they bring out their mascot, they do the wave, they sing, "We are the champions." Nothing works. And now it's Elijah's turn, and Elijah gives one brief prayer, and the fire comes raining down, and it consumes not only the sacrifice, it consumes all the prophets of Baal at the same time. There go all the queen's favorite advisors. There go all the queen's favorite talk show hosts up in a puff of smoke. And Elijah looks and thinks, "I'm on to something. This may make a good stewardship program." Then Elijah turns to run to the Capitol. He runs, and this symbolically is like running from New York City to Washington, D.C., from the seat of economic activity to the seat of political power. He runs to the king and queen to tell them that he's just trounced them royally. He runs straight at them, which may seem a little strange until you stop to think that probably what Elijah was thinking was one of two things. One, maybe Ahab and Jezebel, upon hearing this big news of how God has prevailed, maybe they would repent, rend their garments, change their ways, and say, "Thank you, Elijah, for showing us how we were wrong." Elijah knew that wasn't very likely. But Elijah also knew that maybe, just maybe, this God who had just consumed the false prophets with a rain of fire would now consume the corrupt king and queen, and there'd be a new beginning. So Elijah waits. He tells them the news, and then he waits and waits, and nothing comes. But instead of God speaking, Jezebel speaks. Queen Jezebel, the little veins on her powdered forehead are starting to pop out as she speaks. She says, "With God as my witness, by this time tomorrow, as you turned my advisors to toast, you are going to be toast, Elijah." And then it was right at that moment that Elijah has another great idea, a really great idea. His great idea was, "Run! Run! Run, Forrest, run, and don't stop running." And he runs the entire day. He runs, his secretary is with him, and then at that point, having run the entire day, he stops and let his secretary go. I find that a little strange. I wonder if that's like the two guys out hiking who stir up an angry grizzly bear. One guy stops to tie his shoe, and the other guy says, "What are you doing?" He says, "I don't have to outrun the bear. I just have to outrun you." leaves his secretary behind, and Elijah just keeps running. He runs until he's exhausted, and then he spots a small broom tree, and he thinks, now that would be a nice place to lay down and die, because I quit. Elijah was terrified. He was burned out. He felt like one of those old gray battleships that had served well, done its duty, and now needs to be decommissioned and sunk. He did not want to do it anymore. He wanted out. Have you ever felt like that? If you've ever felt like that, this story is for you. Elijah was afraid for his life, and Jezebel was after him. He was worn out with the battle. He had difficult duties. He was tired of running around so much. He was ready to give up, and he falls asleep in fear and fatigue. Maybe you too know something about just wanting to lay down and go to sleep. But then an angel of the Lord comes and touches his shoulder, wakes him up, feeds him with some fresh, warm bread and some water. It so nourishes him that he falls asleep again. And then the angel of the Lord comes again and gives him more warm bread and another touch around his shoulder. It's amazing, isn't it? Isn't it amazing how sometimes food, no matter how simple, given in love, revives you? And how sometimes a touch, a simple touch, just a simple hug on the hand or shoulder gives you courage for the journey? Elijah woke up and found strength for the journey. He runs for 40 days and 40 nights, symbolic, because he's headed to the mountain of God. He's headed to the mountain of God where Moses had encountered God. Elijah knew that a long time ago, Moses came to this mountain and hid in this specific cleft in the rock. God passed by in all God's glory, and Moses was overwhelmed with God's presence and gave a new beginning in creation. And God speaks to Moses. God speaks to Moses with the glory of God passing by, something of earthquake, wind, and fire. So now Elijah comes to the same mountain, the same cave, and asks the same God, give me the works. I'm ready. Earthquake, wind, fire, do it all. I need a new beginning, a new vision, a new long-range plan. God, I need a do-over. Let the fireworks begin and let's get started anew. And yes, the earthquake came, but God was not in the earthquake. And the wind comes. God is not in the wind. And the fire comes, but God is not in the fire. And then comes the sound of absolute silence. Now this is no new beginning, no new vision, and it's not God whispering to Elijah some new secret. It's just silence. And it was the silence that got Elijah's attention, that made him finally come out of the cave. And only then does God speak to him again, and he says, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah says a couple of times, I'm the only one left. I'm back because it's all hopeless now. God, we need to clean the slate and start all over again. I need one of those mountaintop experiences to give me a new vision and see where we go from here. And the Lord God simply gives Elijah a few more things to do on his list and says, now go back home and do the work that you've already been called to do. And I'll be with you, the Lord says. You don't have to worry about the future results of the work. You don't have to worry about the faithful remnant. They'll be there. I'll provide. It isn't all up to you, Elijah. And you don't need some kind of spectacular revelation and revival. Just follow the call you've already been given. I think this is a fascinating story. Because Elijah wanted a whole new beginning, and God says, carry on. On a personal level, I think this story challenges our expectations of God somehow intervening in our lives and making it all easy for us. God speaks to different people in different times in different ways, and we can't relive the past. We can't relive Moses' past. We can't even relive our past. If God has given you a call, and God has given you work to do, just because you're afraid or tired, don't think you can make excuses, because God has given you that call. Well, it is Father's Day. Let me say again, happy Father's Day. I hope you had a great father as I did. My dad always had a smile on his face and a warm welcome for everybody. He served in World War II. He won the Bronze Star and a Purple Heart. My dad passed away 23 years ago this year, but I relish those memories of my father for all the different ways that he taught me what I needed to know. I remember when I was in high school, during the days of football practice starting, you'd get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go work out at football practice for a couple hours before it got too hot, and then you'd go to class all day, and after going to class all day and studying, then after school you'd go back to football practice for another couple of hours in the hot afternoon sun. And I remember coming home after days like that, and I'd be heading for the easy chair, and Dad would look at me with a big smile on his face, and he'd say, "Hi, Andy, how was your day? By the way, you forgot to mow the lawn. Get busy, you gold brick." He taught me to keep my priorities straight. Some things come first. God has gifted Elijah with incredible power. And now Elijah wants to give up and not do the work that was his to do. God says to Elijah, "Get back to work. You've got a call." I think this is a message. This story is not so much about how God communicates as about how God finally gets through to us. That sometimes it's the silence of not hearing something new that we ought to take as saying, God has already given us a call of what we are to do and where we're to go. Now, follow through with that call. Don't expect something new, something different. God didn't say, "Elijah, take it easy now. You worked hard. You deserve a rest." God didn't say to Elijah, "Oh, you poor thing, I'll guard you. You don't need to take responsibility for your life anymore." God did not say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. I'll do the rest of your work for you." God did not give any hint that Elijah could be decommissioned or just sail off into the sunset. This is what God said: "Elijah, quit the pity party. Get up, go back home, get to work, because I have given you incredible gifts. And now you are the one who needs to follow through with the call that you have been given. Remember as you go, though, you are not alone. I am with you. You are not alone. You are not the only prophet. You have other brothers and sisters in the Lord." The work of the kingdom of God, the coming kingdom, is long and hard work, and it will involve fear and fatigue and terror and terrorists and tiredness. But I will be with you. I will be with you, and your brothers and sisters will be with you, and you all are needed to guide people from faithlessness to faith, from false worship to the living God, from idolatry to love and life and light. And Elijah, this is my work, God's work. It is important work that you need to do. Quite a message for Elijah. You know, there were some people who used to go out into the desert in the early church to escape to places of solitude, and I think they have things to teach us, the ancient desert fathers and mothers, they're called. One of the things that some of them practiced as a spiritual discipline, was to take one word and to repeat it over and over again. For this group, the word that they would repeat over and over again was not God, and it was not Jesus, it was not even love. The word that they repeated over and over again was today. Today. Kept them focused on where they needed to be. We may feel worn out and afraid from all we have encountered, the terror of yesterday, but we need to focus on today where God is with us. We may not know what's coming tomorrow or the next day. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, but this is what we do have today. Today, the Lord is with you. Today we belong to God, and our lives are here for us to love and serve the Lord. And yeah, there are some times when we are like Elijah and we say, isn't God finished with me yet? Haven't I done enough? Can't I just lay down and quit? But this story's here to say to us, no, no. You have been gifted by God. You have been gifted by God. In the reign of God, there are people out there who need the love that you have to share. We belong to God. Not sometimes, not once in a while, not when it's easy. We belong to God, and God is with us for the journey. Would you join me in prayer? Holy God, these are your people. They are a prophetic people. Feed them with your love. Put your arm around each and every one of them. With your presence, strengthen them for the journey, for the work, for the adventure, for the depth of meaning, for the life. Help us to remember your call above anything that would lead us away from your world and your ways. In Jesus' name we pray.